or raise a number of red flags. One blogger I consulted on this passage said that this text could be in the running for the award for the most negative spiritual baggage. And while James 5 offers us a beautiful description of healing in the context of a faith community, it has been twisted into a tidy little formula for achieving guaranteed results. Some nasty theological manipulations with a heavy dose of guilt have been drawn from these words. The passage starts out pleasantly enough. Are you suffering? You should pray. Are you happy, cheerful? You should sing songs of praise. Are you sick? Call the elders to come and pray for you and anoint you in the name of the Lord. So far, so good. The prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise them up. Ouch. How many of us have prayed our hearts out for someone we loved only to see them get worse? It sounds like a blank promise. And if we don't see results, it must be because we didn't fulfill our end of the deal. We must not have prayed in the right way. A simplistic answer would say, maybe you just didn't have enough faith. But the passage doesn't say that the sick person needs to have faith in order to be healed. The sick person calls the elders, and they are the ones who must offer the prayer of faith. Isn't it great to know that when you are so beaten down that you can hardly believe anymore, that we're part of a community of people who will stand with you and believe and have faith on your behalf? Jesus healed all kinds of people who showed no evidence of faith. They were healed because he asked in faith. And how much faith do we need to have in order to see God answer our prayers? Jesus said the faith the size of a mustard seed would move a mountain. It gets worse. A common explanation for the lack of healing is there must be unconfessed sin in your life. The holiness tradition of the late 19th and early 20th century taught that those who are sick should go through a very intensive process of scrutiny and entire consecration and try to name every possible sin they could detect in their lives. Dora Dudley, an early Christian Missionary Alliance revivalist, came up with a list of 30 reasons why some people are not healed. The list included being full of self-pity, being too sensitive, expecting people to cater to you, withholding the tithe, and even cruelty to animals, like keeping birds in cages and beating their horses. Confession of sin was never a prerequisite for someone to be healed by Jesus. Sometimes Jesus offered forgiveness of sin along with physical healing. Sometimes he healed people and told them to go and make a fresh start and to sin no more. But a person's sin never kept God's grace from reaching down and operating in a person's life. James is not offering us a contractual, airtight agreement in which God is obligated to heal if we fulfill the required preparation. James is talking about more than physical healing. The prayer of faith will save the sick. That save is the word, the Greek word sozo, which means wholeness and well-being. Because healing is more, much more than simply relief from physical suffering. It is knowing God's love, sustaining peace, and having others who come alongside and carry the burdens with us. It's living in the freedom that comes with confession, sharing our struggles, our needs, and disappointments with one another. Hearing Ann Magnuson tell her story last Sunday about her experience of loss of identity and growing up in a residential school was a profound experience of healing for her and for us as a faith community. Receiving and offering the forgiveness that's embedded in the Lord's Prayer is given to us for daily cleansing, freeing us from the burdens of guilt and relational strain. And the little prayer of confession at the beginning of our liturgy each week is also given to us as an aid for our healing. It saves us from pretense and false pride and from having to hide the reality that we don't have everything together, that we're on the same level ground with each other, that we are part of a company of sinners. Hillary Clinton popularized the African proverb, "It takes a village to raise a child." But James reminds us that it takes a community of faith to heal the child of God. And it's not just the work of elders. We're all invited into this work of being healers, priests, and caregivers. That's one of our Baptist distinctives. Healing comes when, in our trouble, we realize that we are God's beloved and part of God's family. We trust, we surrender, and place ourselves and our future in God's gentle hands. Healing may sometimes mean coming to terms, coming to accept living with certain limitations, coming to terms with our own mortality, learning to be at peace as each day comes as an offering to God. Sometimes we are healed without being cured. Some people are cured without really being healed. These bodies of ours are wearing out. Death was written into the contract when we took our first breath. As with Hezekiah's case, when we recover from an illness, it is only a postponement of the inevitable death. And sometimes we see God intervene miraculously, and we expect and pray that he will do so this morning among us. But sometimes we hear the words the Apostle Paul heard, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness." This is a mystery. In our service of healing, we offer the anointing with oil, which is associated with the Spirit's ministry of healing. We don't have any record of Jesus anointing people with oil when he healed the sick, but the disciples did during his ministry as he sent them out village to village. Some suggest that oil was used as a common medicine for a variety of ailments. We do not need to make a choice between medical pathways of healing and divine ones. All healing comes from God, whether directly through prayer or through medicines like the poultice of figs that Isaiah applied to Hezekiah's boil, or the calming anointing the balm of oil on our foreheads. The oil is a tangible reminder that the Spirit of Jesus is present, compassionately touching our feeble bodies and reminding us that we have been sealed in God's Spirit as beloved daughters and sons. Take a moment to pause and to consider how God is inviting you into his arms of healing this morning. Just 20 seconds of silence, and I will conclude with a prayer from the Anglican Service of Healing. As you are outwardly anointed with this holy oil, So may our Heavenly Father grant you the inward anointing of the Holy Spirit. Of His great mercy, may He forgive you your sins, release you from suffering, and restore you to wholeness and strength. May He deliver you from all evil, preserve you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord.